Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington, working on this pre-recorded program very much. Here are some of the top stories making news across Sudan and South Sudan this Friday, January 21st, 2022. Sudanese judges condemn excessive use of force on pro-democracy protesters.
The Sudanese judiciary and the public prosecution office are in dire need of judicial reforms. And this cannot happen without the establishment of the Commission of Legal Reform.
And the Biden administration suspends development assistance to Sudan.
They didn't came directly to Khartoum. They came to Khartoum via Riyadh. And that's very important.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Sudanese judges are condemning violence and the use of excessive force against anti-military protesters in a rare public statement on Thursday. The judges say the violations must stop immediately and the perpetrators should be investigated and brought to justice and punished. A group of public prosecutors also petitioned the Sudanese Chief Justice to investigate all violations that occurred since October 25th. And the days that followed. Michael Atit reports for VOA from Khartoum.
A statement from 55 Sudanese judges to the head of the judiciary said the military authorities have, quote, violated all international covenants since its coup on the 25th of October 2021 and practiced the most heinous types of violations against defenseless demonstrators, end quote. The statement called for an end to the violence and the opening of a criminal investigation. Abdulaziz Fathur Rahman Abdin, the Chief Justice, said in a statement that the ruling Sovereign Council must, quote, do everything that is available and possible in order to protect these people and preserve their rights, end quote. The statement also said members of the judiciary will work to guarantee or contribute to the protection of citizens and protect their lives and rights. Separately, more than 100 prosecutors said they stopped working starting Thursday to support of their call for security forces to stop violence and lift the state of emergency. They emphasized their opposition to a newly adopted emergency measures that would give the security forces greater immunity and powers. In a statement Thursday, they pointed out that prosecutors are unable to carry out their duties to accompany the police to protest to determine the acceptable level of force. Speaking to South Sudan in Focus today, Abdulrahman Mahmoud, a Sudanese lawyer and human rights activist, commented on the Chief Justice's statement, saying this will protect the rights of the protesters in Sudan. Mahmoud says, according to the Sudanese constitution, the judiciary is supposed to be an independent body that ensures justice is served for everybody.
The statement contained the efficiency of the judiciary, and according to Sudan's judiciary law, it is supposed to be an independent entity separately from the public prosecution office. That is why he made that balanced statement.
Mahmoud says there is a dire need for the judicial reforms stipulated in the constitutional document and in the Juba Peace Agreement. He says many Sudanese families are eagerly waiting to see that justice is served and perpetrators of atrocities committed in the country are brought to the court.
The Sudanese judiciary and the public prosecution office are in dire need of judicial reforms. And this cannot happen without the establishment of the Commission of Legal Reform. We still have individual members of the National Congress Party who have been working since 30 years ago and are still working in these institutions. We need to reform these justice systems and laws so that they match with the national and international updates.
Last week, the military leaders say the right to peaceful protest is guaranteed and have ordered investigations into the killings. But Mahmoud says those who committed crimes and other atrocities in Sudan are well known, but none of them has been charged.
The criminals are well known to everybody, and it is very difficult for these organized forces to arrest each other. All evidence is pointing that these forces are behind the deliberate killing of the protesters. So when you register an open case against unknown individuals, they will be present before the court of law.
Pro-democracy protesters continue to reject the October 25th military coup and demand for civilian rule in the country. The Sudan's Doctors Association says about 72 individuals have been shot and killed by the Sudanese security forces and scores of others wounded since the military coup. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
Still in Sudan, two top U.S. diplomats who visited Khartoum this week said U.S. assistance to Sudan will remain suspended until violence against peaceful protesters stops and a civilian-led transitional government is restored. They also said the Biden administration will consider taking measures against those blocking a transition to democracy in Sudan. Sudan's military leaders promised to take steps to restore democratic transition. As Nabil Biagio reports from Washington, some analysts say the U.S. must do more to put pressure on the military in Sudan and support pro-democracy movement.
The U.S. Embassy in Khartoum yesterday said U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs Molly Fee and Special Envoy for the Horn of Africa David Satterfield met with Sudanese civil society. The statement said they shared their concerns over the disruption of the democratic transition since the October 25 coup. The embassy said the diplomats also condemned the government's use of violence against protesters. They called for investigations into the deaths and injuries that have occurred and for those responsible to be held accountable. The U.S. delegation flew into Khartoum after holding meetings in Riyadh, the capital of Saudi Arabia. A group known as the Friends of Sudan, including Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates, along with Western countries, have been holding discussions on the way forward for Sudan. Professor of African and Asian Studies at the University of Khartoum, Ismail Ibrahim, says the U.S. strategy in Sudan is to apply external and internal pressure on the military to restore the transition to democracy.
They didn't came directly to Khartoum. They came to Khartoum via Riyadh. And that's very important because they know that Riyadh and Abu Dhabi, Saudi Arabia and UAE, they need desperately the support of this military leaders here in Sudan because a sizable number of Sudanese militia. They were fighting alongside with the Saudi and in Yemen, you know. So that is why they try to persuade them not to go to prison. On the other side, of course, the envoys try to put a considerable support, pressure on them to stop, you know, this killing of the protesters, you know, and try to share power with the civilians.
Ibrahim says Riyadh and Abu Dhabi are important actors because of the military alliance they have with Sudan to fight Houthi rebels in Yemen. He says the U.S. is trying to use that relationship to get the two Gulf countries to play a stabilizing role in Sudan. But Ibrahim says the effectiveness of this strategy is yet to be seen.
It is very difficult to say that the mission of the two envoys was successful unless some practical steps are taken by the military, who I don't see that they have any kind of vision or willingness, you know, to take that, step so that process for democratization.
Cameron Hudson is a senior fellow at the Atlantic Council's Africa Center here in the U.S. He says the U.S. Embassy statement is not strong enough and might have disappointed pro-democracy protesters in Sudan who are demanding the military completely steps aside and relinquish power to civilians.
There is still implicit in that statement a recognition that the military has a role to play in this transition. And I think there are many people on the street who don't believe that, who think that the military, by the virtue of the coup and by the continued killing of pro-democracy groups, that they have lost their ability to be trusted as part of this transition. So, the U.S. is empowering the military in a way that I think people are not particularly, pleased by. I think that's the first thing I would say about the statement. I think the second thing is that, you know, the idea that we are not going to impose any kind of sanctions right now.
Medical sources in Sudan report that more than 70 protesters have been killed by Sudanese security forces since the military takeover. Hudson says the U.S. needs to take stronger actions to support the anti-coup protesters and put sanctions on the military.
The first thing that Washington needs to be doing is supporting the pro-democracy movement. And that can be with money, that can be with technical assistance, that can be with organizational assistance. But giving people on the ground and giving political parties the tools that they need and the resources that they need to improve their negotiating position with respect to the government. And that can also be just the moral support and the public support that comes from Washington. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing that Washington should be doing is weakening the power of the military by putting sanctions on them, by acknowledging the crimes that they are committing.
Hudson says Washington also should take a stronger stance on justice and accountability for the violence against unarmed protesters. In a statement yesterday, authorities in Sudan said they assured the visiting U.S. officials of their commitment to holding inclusive dialogue to reach a national consensus on the way out of the current political crisis. That included amending parts of the constitution to reflect the new realities in Sudan, forming an independent technocratic government led by a civilian prime minister, and holding free elections at the end of the transitional period. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio in Washington.
President Salva Kiir's spokesman has condemned a U.S. senator's call for President Kiir and his first vice president Riek Machar to step down due to lack of progress in implementing South Sudan's revitalized peace agreement. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wood reports from Juba.
On January 6, Senator Patrick Lee issued a statement urging more pressure on South Sudanese leaders, saying the country remains divided, violent, and impoverished. The parliament is nothing more than a hand-picked rubber stamp. He said the country remains plagued by widespread hunger and ongoing disputes between rival politicians motivated more by personal ambitions than building a democratic country or improving citizens' lives. He specifically pointed to Kiir and Machar, saying they are primarily to blame for fueling tensions and mobilizing support along ethnic lines and for failing in their responsibility to invest in public infrastructure, basic services, and the institutions of a multi-party democracy. Attorney Wek Attorney, a presidential spokesman, criticized Lee.
Senator Lee's statement has an element of ignorance in it, because anyone who is not living the situation in the Republic of South Sudan would think that the problem in South Sudan will end if President Kiir and Dr. Riek Machar step aside from political scene. This is an absolute ignorance that I would actually wanted to say categorically and clearly.
Lee said Kiir and Machar have squandered and abused their authority and should stand aside so that others, chosen in a free and fair election, can begin the process of uniting and rebuilding the country. Lee added that people's dreams of a better future have been crushed and their rights trampled, with many paying with their lives or freedom and their government becoming the object of ridicule by the same international donors that staked so much good faith on leaders who have failed them. Lee said the United States can work with regional allies, Canada, Norway, the UK, other European nations, and church leaders to achieve a democratic and peaceful solution in South Sudan. Attorney called that unrealistic.
This overture further assumed that an alternative political architecture can be constructed through protest groups and civil society actors in lieu of the current signatories of the peace agreement. Not only will such an approach prove futile, but it will also exacerbate political and social tensions, which continue to be addressed within the context of the RSS framework.
Attorney says the international community should instead put more effort into supporting the implementation of the revitalized 2018 peace deal.
Despite the constellation of challenges that the citizens continue to face due to intercommunal conflict and the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic, the agreement still holds with the government planning to graduate the National Unified Forces in short order.
Attorney says what the country wants is to ensure the key provisions of the peace deal are implemented with the elections held at the end of the unity government. Despite over 3 years of implementation, the deal has achieved little, especially in the area of critical security arrangements. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Authorities in Warrap State's Gogriel East County say a soldier with Sudan People's Defense Force went on rampage with knife and a gun, killing an unknown number of people. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Bor.
Malwach Lueth, the commissioner of Gogriel East County, says the incident happened this morning.
This morning around 7 a.m. A person has killed 3 people, 2 ladies and 3 men. Among the 2 women, one is his wife, and he slain them by a knife and each the man. So 3 people are now confirmed dead.
Lueth says the motive behind the murder is not yet established. He says the suspected perpetrator went on the run and several security forces pursued him. Major General Lul Roy Kong, the spokesperson of the South Sudan People's Defense Force, confirms the incident.
A regimental sergeant major named Yel Awer Kwach, he went to his village, a village called Konglong in Ajogo Payam of Gogriel East County. At around 4 a.m., he woke up his wife, tied his hand, and took her to the bush where she killed her. Then she slit her throat and left her dead. Then she went back and proceeded to the house of his uncle, who was away at the time, took his uncle's wife, led him to the bushes, shot her in the head, and went as far as also chopping off her head. Then he went to another place, went and found another man. He as well shot him dead. Then in the process, he went on shooting spree. The security forces made an attempt to arrest him so that he could be investigated. He fired at them, physically resisting arrest using armed confrontations, and as a result, he was shot dead. So all in all, a total of 4 people died.
General Lul says it's not clear whether Yel Awer Kwach took the gun from the barrack or got it in the village. County Commissioner Lueth says today's incident is the second attack in 2 days after unidentified armed assailants killed 2 people and injured 2 others who had gone fishing in the area on Wednesday.
There were 4 people shot, 2 died, 2 sustained fractured serious wounds. Among the 2 that got killed, 1 is a minor, is a child of 14 years. I later came to learn he is 12 years, and plus 1 adult. 2 people died, and 2 that are wounded were taken to one has been taken to Surale, the other one has been taken to Kwajok. All are civilians who went for the purpose of fishing, of making a living in the swamp.
Several cases of murder involving members of the South Sudan People's Defense Force who deserted their barracks with weapons have been reported in the past. In December, at least 3 people were allegedly killed by SSPDF soldiers for unknown reasons at Munduri East County in Western Equatorial State. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaideng in Bor.
An education official says hundreds and possibly thousands of students in Warrap State's Twitch County skipped school to attend the Twitch Olympics, and a number of teachers may have joined them at the Turale Freedom Square. For VOA News, Viola Elias reports from Juba.
Twitch County Education Director Mawi Deng says schools were scheduled to reopen on the 3rd of January, but seven in Turale Village remain idle. Deng says he made several announcements over local radio, but for the past nearly 3 weeks, a majority of students chose sports over lessons. The games, which ended this week, usually started with volleyball from 6 a.m. and then wrap up with football games from 2 p.m.
I tried to inform the PM supervisor to open the school. So simply, the Olympic has also interrupted the learning. Last week, on Wednesday, I went to the nearest the school around, but I came to learn that the school is still not reopened. So I asked the head teacher and the PM supervisor, why are you not opening the school? The PM supervisor says that the Olympic has taken all the learners.
Deng says he went to three schools and found 3 to 4 learners in each classroom. Deng says he could not estimate the total numbers of students who haven't reported back to school, but says a majority were absent. He says organizers of the Twitch Olympics did not contact the Ministry of Education before organizing the games.
I think let me be realistic and specific. If there was a chain of communication between the management of Olympic Games and the Ministry of Education, we would have channeled this, we would have scheduled this game during the holiday. We would have also told them that you need to put these games during the holiday because it will interrupt the education system.
Some students say there was another reason they weren't attending classes, that teachers have not been coming to teach them. Speaking through a translator, Atem Atem, a primary 5 pupil, says he often goes to school, but no teachers are available.
Our teachers don't come daily. They sometimes come like 6 teachers or 3 teachers in a day, and all of them cannot teach the entire school. We used to leave at 2, but now we leave at 12. Other people leave at 10 a.m. We leave at 10 a.m. or 12 p.m. because there are no teachers, because there is no teaching. So we just keep staying there, and we get bored, and we have to go back. If they are there, and we are being taught, we will be there until the end.
Deng says he foresees that the impact of the Twitch Olympics games will be disastrous to the students. He urges parents to advise their children to go back to school, saying education is more important than the Olympics. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on issues in our news. My colleague Nabil Biagio is ready with this week's listener comments. Over to you, Nabil.
Thank you, John. We heard from many of you this week about our coverage of efforts to unify South Sudanese communities in agreements with breakaway factions to join the South Sudan's People's Defense Forces. Tondi Datian from Awil Town writes, "Hello, VOA. I'm requesting the South Sudanese government and holdout groups, including those run by General Pagan Amum, General Paul Malong, General Thomas Chirilo, and General Oyai Deng Ajak, to prioritize the interests of civilians rather than individuals or political interests this time round, and to resume talks in Rome so that we will be having everlasting peace in our country." This listener says, "I am Peter Ajak Ayom in Block 3, Bor Town of Jongule State." He says, "Hello VOA, thanks to President General Salva Kiir Mayardit and the government for accepting the SPLM-IO breakaway faction groups of Kit Kwang and the General Simon Gatwich to sign the long-awaited peace on Monday. I am also urging the factions who are still not having peace with the government to come home and build the nation. We are tired of war. Let us accept and forgive each other for the betterment of this country." Mading Malual Along from Malakal Town writes, "Defection has become a means of climbing the ladder by the disgruntled general or politician who goes against the conduct of parties of the concerned. This culture of rebellion and calling yourself freedom fighter is unbecoming and should be stopped once and for all." Mal Adao Mal in Bortown says, "Hello VOA. The so-called agreement between the faction of Kit Kwang and the government will indeed precipitate conflict because it seems clear that anyone who rebels against the government is considered to be a leader, and this will trigger more misunderstanding among generals as everyone will be willing to fight to gain position in government." Ustaz Loboy Kalaman Joseph of Torit in Eastern Equatoria State says, John Tanza, I am so grateful the South Sudan National Teachers Union has been formed. Some of their roles and responsibilities are to unite teachers, ensure good working conditions and welfare for teachers in the country. I am urging them to follow up the remaining 3 months incentive for the candidates class teachers for both primary 8 and senior 4 during the phase 1 reopening of candidate classes. This is to motivate them to work harder for the current registered candidates. I wish them and our leaders the best. Jacob Dior Machwen from Rumbek Lake State says, the situation between Pibor Administrative Area and Jongolo State needs an intervention from the national government so that food supplies reach the citizens who are starving in Greater Pibor. Samuel Remo in Yai says, hi, John Tanza and Nabil Biagio. It's sad to hear news over VOA about land grabbing in Juba. The soldiers who are to protect the country both internally and externally are involved in land survey. We should not be surprised to see a farmer one day on the front line as chief commander commanding soldiers for battle. I am appealing to the authorities concerned to immediately terminate those generals for bad behavior which will drag the country into war. We, the indigenous people of South Sudan on the ground, are for peace and are fed up with bad behavior which could lead us back to war. Mading Malual Alwong from Malakal Town writes, Presidential Security Advisor Tutkeu Galwak is working hard to make sure that South Sudan remains unstable, with the hope that we shall rejoin Sudan, but it will never happen under the sun. The peace agreement between him and the Kitgwang faction is not making any sense. Peter Goj Anyang Majongdul in Block 3 Bortown says, channeling oil shares to education in Malut County is what we call services delivered, but I totally disagree with hiring foreign teachers when we have thousands of graduates unemployed. County authorities should have sourced teachers within South Sudan. Daniel Dud Dagbai from Ragmajok in Lake State says, if people of Kapoita East are evacuating their residential areas due to looming hunger while the whole country is facing acute food shortages, where will the country move? People of Kapoita East should remain in the area such that humanitarian assistance is delivered to them on the ground. And finally, Mabor Alatringo from Rumbek Lake State says, hello John Tanza, the only way to combat hunger is through agriculture, farming. Therefore, the government should stabilize security so that people embark on agriculture. Also, the government should stop auctioning millions of dollars to black markets and support our local farmers by using this money so that they produce enough agricultural products to boost our economy. The views expressed here do not reflect the views of VOA or of this program. We appreciate you sharing your thoughts with us. Keep those comments coming.
Keep your comments brief and we will sample them every Friday. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. That's all we prepared for you this Friday. We now end the show with D. Kut and his song, Peer Aher. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Piraer, piraer, a corman, when cupid to call me, go by Sudan, milk on a piro. Piro can and a pork, piro can and milk, piraer, okay, call killing way, when you're a younger, what the way in the go, Kai Bako, and Wallavan, younger, younger, a color panda, but away, younger, younger, and Yambo, make a sauce, younger, younger, Walloon, way in the go, younger, younger, Wakai Kot, Kabachi, don't find the younger, Kuyaka Pingu Yaki Jam, Nanga Jam, Yaki Jam with Doru, Yonah Pantuk, Achindor Kuna, I make a ding up, Matki Jing, Benabin, be a panamo, and what that catching you are woke. Ni opinion no machin juru war wo rela pya woto panda ge kingi wo adona kanga to bai ching ge gam wo yenguru yenguru bi ai yenguru yenguru uka
I call to loon way. What the way in the go? I bako and dwell in. I call a panda, bit away. And jam.